And every single one of you out there have the superpowers necessary for greatness. But until you're backed into a corner like an injured, hungry, thirsty dog, you don't really realize how much you have in you. That is something that no test can measure.
Welcome to the Bedros Koulian Show.
Back when Q was rolling with Lorenzo and a Benzo, I was banging with a gang of instrumentals. Hey friends, welcome to the Bedros Koulian Show. I'm Bedros Koulian, and today we're going to talk about a very important topic that I think is important to you, and that is to reprogram yourself for greatness. But before we kick off this episode, I want to first off thank all of you, because across every platform, Spotify, iTunes, YouTube, we are growing at breakneck speeds, and it's because of you, the viewers and listeners of the Bedros Koulian Show. So I appreciate you sharing. I appreciate you commenting. I appreciate you leaving reviews. And because of that, we continue to grow. By the way, you ought to know that 72% of you watching this on YouTube are not subscribed. So if I'm adding any value to your world, to your life, to your circumstances, then the best thing you can do is subscribe, and let's call that an even trade, right? Fair enough. And also want to invite every single one of you to Bedros Koulian Live this September 8th and 9th in beautiful Costa Mesa, California. I'm holding a two-day live event. I'm bringing many of my friends who are amazing entrepreneurs, thought leaders, world-class athletes, guys from the special operations community, and they are there, world champions. They are there to pour into you. I always talk about proximity being powerful and being around people who have like-minded goals, like-minded ambition, like-minded dreams. And while it's cool that we listen and we hang out on the podcast and on the show on YouTube, really, if you can get within proximity of people that you admire, people that you respect, you begin to grow at a faster rate. So September 8th and 9th in beautiful Costa Mesa, California, Bedros Koulian Live. Listen, don't make excuses. Just find a way to come out there. I really hate when someone, and hate is a very strong word, but I really hate when someone says, you know, it'd be great if you did the live event in my town, in my city, if it was just happening right here. Listen, I've been running live events for the last 15 years, and we've literally had people come from 45 different countries to all my live events. And so if you can't make yourself get on a plane, get a hotel, and come out to California, I begin to question how serious you are about really growing and expanding into the 2.0 version of yourself. So again, enough about that. Bedros Koulian Live, September 8th and 9th. The website is going to be bedroskoulian.com/live. And if you're watching this right now, that page may already be up. So with that said, let's dive into this whole reprogramming yourself for greatness. One thing I've learned long ago is that you really tend to undermine your abilities and traits. I put up a post on Instagram recently, and I said, most people underestimate their abilities and their capacity, and then they overestimate other people's abilities and capacity. It's almost like you'll put yourself in a position to think that greatness is somehow reserved for special people, and that you don't belong in that category of special, like almost like you don't have what it takes. You begin to see yourself as maybe, hey, I'm gonna be a spectator of life and watch the great play the game of life on the field. And so you kind of just find yourself on the bleachers of life watching and spectating and not necessarily participating. And I'm here to tell you, man, that as someone that has gone from the 1.0 version to the 2.0 version of myself, I used to think the same thing. I really believed that great people, successful people, rich people, wealthy people, people that would impact and inspire the world, that there was something special about them that I didn't have. Like they were just born with a special trait, personality type, skill set. And as it turned out, and I've proven it in my life, these are all things that are attainable. It's no different than working out in a gym and building muscle, right? You could be an endomorph, an ectomorph, a mesomorph,
doesn't matter. You can put on muscle. Someone who's a mesomorph, the body type that tends to want to put on muscle easily, guess what? They're probably going to have an easier time building muscle, but they still have to do the work. They still have to eat right. But that doesn't mean that the endomorph, like me, where I put on fat easily, or the ectomorph, like that really skinny dude that you know, who has a hard time putting on muscle, that doesn't mean they can't do it. They may have to work harder. They may have to work longer. They may have to put in more effort, but the outcome is guaranteed when the effort is applied. And so with that said, guys and gals, today I want to talk to you about where we are. We're right now halfway through the year. And I'm guessing you probably made some kind of a resolution at the beginning of the year to achieve some level of greatness, maybe in your relationship, maybe in your mindset, maybe in your income, right? Maybe you wanted to start a business or grow your business bigger. You want to become a better leader, have better marketing systems in place, have a better sales process, raise your prices. Maybe it's about just building your personal brand. Like you committed to building your personal brand. Whatever it is, my question to you is, now that we're halfway through the year, are you anywhere near doing that? Like, have you taken the steps over the last 6 months or so to get yourself close to doing that? Because 6 months is plenty of time. Like, focused work for 6 months can produce one hell of an outcome. And my challenge to you is, are you doing it? And if you're not, what's stopping you? And I bet what's stopping you is this belief that you're not made for this. Maybe because some school teachers told you that, you know what, your aptitude test says that you're not actually that smart, or you're not that witty, or your IQ is low, or you just are a little bit slow, or you don't have the body type for it, the intelligence for it. Well, who says, right? Who says? Because what they can't measure is the heart of man. That is something that is unmeasurable. No one can measure the heart of man and say that they can or can't do something. What we end up doing is we underestimate ourselves based on what maybe mom and dad told us, and maybe they meant best for us. Maybe they didn't want to see us get disappointed by setting the bar too high, setting our expectations too high. So they wanted us to play safe. Maybe they just passed along their interpretation of what success is, which is just make enough money to live in a place where you're renting and paying your bills and just getting by in life. Being average, right? And if everybody around you is average, well, it's pretty easy to want to set that as your standard, isn't it? But the reason I'm bringing this up, guys, is because far too often those expectations are set too low. And you begin to think that greatness is meant for others, and it's not. It's meant for you, and I'm going to prove it to you. See, back in 1990, there was this amazing fight that took place between Mike Tyson and James Buster Douglas. My dad and I love boxing. And so we went to a friend's house because, you know, back in 1990, we didn't have that much money. We went to a friend's house, my dad's friend's house, who had gotten the fight on HBO. And I remember watching that fight, man. And the fight took place in Japan. And Buster Douglas, the odds were stacked against him, 42-1. 42-1. Everyone thought that Mike Tyson was going to tear Buster Douglas up based on the training, based on the record of these two fighters, based on all the hype from the legendary Don King, based on what all the sports commentators and experts said. Vegas gave them the odds of 42-1. So the odds were stacked against Buster Douglas by 42x, right? That he would win. And to make things worse, 23 days before that fight, Buster Douglas's mom passed away. To make things even worse, 2 weeks before that fight, his best friend was diagnosed with a deadly disease. Now, on that day in 1990 in Japan, when he got in the ring with Mike Tyson, when the odds were stacked against him, 42-1, Buster Douglas took it to Tyson. And at the 10th round, knocked him out with the hook. And that hook shot knocked out Tyson, and Buster Douglas stood victorious. And the commentator was asking him, like, holy crap, man, what was your training like? What was this like? What was that like? And Buster Douglas just kept saying one thing. I came in here to do what I was supposed to do. I came in here to do what I was supposed to do. Effectively, he's the underdog. He's the guy that everybody counted out. He's the one that no one thought would win the fight. They stacked the odds against him, 42-1. But no one knows what's in his heart. And no one knows how much of that pain from his mother's death 23 days earlier and the diagnosis of his best friend 2 weeks earlier of a deadly disease, how he could transform that into such rage, such anger, such focus that he would take one of the greatest fighters of all time, Michael Tyson, down at the 10th round with a knockout. So I'm here to tell you that oftentimes you will underestimate yourself and you will overestimate others. And I'm telling you, this comes from many things. As someone who has always underestimated himself up until about 12, 13 years ago, I will tell you from firsthand experience. For example, I was molested as a kid in Armenia, right? I was molested by two older boys. That really made me feel shame and self-hate. That made me feel like I'm broken and unlovable and unworthy. And then you come to this country, we escaped the Soviet Union and we came to this country. Not only did that free me from constant molestation, but now that brought me to a place where now we're living in Section 8 housing, not the best type of housing and not the best type of neighborhoods to be in. The most gang-infested parts of Santa Ana, California, where gangs ruled the city, and you had to comply or you got your ass beat. And you had to learn to fight back against a large number of gangbangers when they're trying to steal your shit. And I share that with you because I had a lot of adversity. And then the school system asked my parents, they said, hey, would you like us to test your son because we think he's got some learning disabilities? My parents said, sure. And so they tested me and they found that I've got ADD and OCD. And so not only do I have this sexual molestation trauma, not only do I have this, like, you know, living in Section 8 housing, getting beat up by gang members and having to fight back and try and defend myself, but I'm also now diagnosed with ADD and OCD, and the school system, Anaheim Union High School District, put me on Ritalin. And I share this with you because you begin to think that I'm not special. If I were, I'd be destined for greatness. Great people probably have not had this stuff happen to them. They probably haven't dealt with abuse. They probably haven't had to deal with gangs. They probably didn't have to deal with figuring out where they're going to find food from. They probably don't have to deal with learning disabilities like ADD and OCD. And you begin to count yourself out. And I'm here to tell you that it is not in your best interest to count yourself out in a situation like that, because little did I know that I'm a survivor. When you are a survivor of abuse, I don't care if it's sexual abuse, physical abuse, mental abuse, emotional abuse, you're a different type of human. It takes a special type of human to survive, to go through that kind of trauma and survive. It takes a special type of human to be beat up and hunted down by gang members who want to steal your bike and steal your skateboard and have to fight back. It takes a special type of human to walk into a school not speaking English, not understanding the language, being diagnosed with ADD and OCD, constantly moving around. We moved around. I went to 3 elementary schools, 2 junior highs, and 2 high schools. It takes a very special type of human to be able to be so resilient, to be able to adapt every time we moved around. So little did I know that I was building superpowers. And every single one of you out there have the superpowers necessary for greatness. But until you're backed into a corner like an injured, hungry, thirsty dog, you don't really realize how much you have in you. That is something that no test can measure. Where is the test that would have measured the heart and the desire to win that Buster Douglas had? In an interview Buster Douglas did 2 years ago, he said that His mom came to see him about a month before his fight, right? Remember, she died 23 days before his fight. So a month before, she came to visit him. And she said, son, I've got some kind of mother's intuition that you're going to win this fight with Mike Tyson. Now, at that point, he knew that the odds were stacked against him 42-1. His trainers, coaches, the commentators, everybody in the boxing ecosystem had counted out Buster Douglas. His mom said, I've got a mother's intuition that you're going to win. And when she died 23 days before that fight, and when he went into that ring, he was fighting for his mom. He found a new gear. He found a new level that is unmeasurable by stats. It is unmeasurable through training. It is unmeasurable because there's a place in your heart where desire lives and manifests that's so deep and so powerful. If you can tap into that, into the rage. I mean, you look at Tim Grover's book, Relentless, and he talks about if you can tap into that rage that you have in your heart and bring that controlled rage for 48 minutes to the basketball court. He was telling Dwayne Wade, one of the greatest players in basketball of all time. He said, if you can bring that rage to the basketball court, controlled rage, you will be a world champion. And that's exactly what Dwayne Wade did. And so I'm here to tell you that all of the circumstances that have taken place in your life where you have begun to underestimate yourself, people have told you you're slow, people have gone out of their way to tell you that it's too risky to do that thing that you're interested in doing, that you should take it easy, you should slow down, you should conform. They want to keep you bubble wrapped. They want to keep you safe. They effectively tell you that you don't have what it takes, and soon you begin to believe it is no different than that tiny little elephant that is staked to the ground by a little twig and a tiny little rope. And when that elephant becomes a giant 5-ton animal, they use that same little stake and that same little rope to hold that elephant there. Because that elephant knows that when I was small, that stake and that rope were strong enough to hold me there. Clearly, it's still strong enough to hold me there. And that is untrue. I'm here to tell you that you can reprogram yourself to greatness, and I want to show you how. I want to tell you how. And I want to give you another example as well. In this room, there's, four people and five, including me. But back behind the camera right there is my friend Layton. And you've seen Layton when we do the Q&A shows. He sits across from me. Now, I've known Layton since he was 10 years old, 17 years now. And his mom was a personal training client of mine, and she would bring him to the park, and he would skate around on his skateboard at the park while I was running the outdoor boot camp here in Chino Hills. Over the years, as Layton grew up, I had the good fortune to be able to mentor him and give him some guidance in terms of entrepreneurship. He would come here once a month, and he would sit with me at the end of the day, and just like Jim Franco mentored me, I poured into Layton as much as I could. Now, what you may not know about Layton is the last 12 months, I said, come work for me. It's going to be the fastest way for you to get mentorship. Instead of coming here for 30 minutes at a time and with your questions and sitting here across from me, if you come here and you work here and you get into the pressure cooker that is headquarters and you are around high-performing people, you will get the highest level of mentorship through exposure. Because once a man is exposed to high-speed greatness, you either adopt it and become it, or you pull the ripcord and bounce. And I said, Layton, no matter what you do, do not pull the ripcord and bounce. And he's the kind of guy that won't anyway, because we've got a relationship for some 17 years. And, well, to be honest with you, it was the perfect environment because I wanted to be able to pour into him for more than just 30 minutes a month. And he was in a position where he didn't want to let me, his mentor, down, just like I never wanted to let Jim Franco down, right? And so as he got into this pressure cooker, he's now selling my $100,000 coaching programs and my $25,000 half-day coaching sessions and making $10,000 commissions and $2,500 commissions on top of his building his own personal brand at a breakneck speed, on top of being part of this BK show along with the team here. And I share this with you because Leighton found a new gear. When you are thrown into a high-performing environment, you are forced to level up faster. You time collapse how long it takes you to become great. And I'm here to tell you that Leighton is achieving greatness and is on his way to even greater greatness. How do I know that? Well, just, I don't know, 10 months ago, when I had that conversation with him and I said, hey man, come work with me here. He said, hey B, no one else knows this, but can I have Tuesdays off? I was like, sure, dude. Why don't you have Tuesdays off? He goes, I could still work on Tuesdays, but can I just not come to HQ? And I said, yeah, absolutely. Can I ask why? He goes, well, you know, I'm married. You know, I have a daughter. And you know that my business hasn't really taken off yet. And I quit my job. And so there's a food pantry that I go to where I get food from me and my family. And it's only open on Tuesdays. And that's my only chance to get food, to be able to feed my family. And I'm literally living like paycheck to paycheck. And sometimes I'm having to not pay one thing and catch up on the other thing. Now, I asked Leighton if I could share this with you guys, because in 10 short months, he's now in a position where he... Were you living with your mom or your wife's family? My mom. You're living with your mom, then you guys moved into your own apartment, mm-hmm. And then about 3 months ago, you moved into a house, yeah. Right? And just 3 months ago, he moved into a house, guys. And I share this with you, not because I'm trying to blow smoke up his ass, but there's a team of four people in here, and every single one of these people, I can tell you that when they came into this building, into this pressure cooker, this high-speed environment, where everybody has high standards, where everybody has high expectations, where everybody is shooting for greatness, and greatness is just the bar that we want to exceed. This dude's now getting $10,000 commissions, $2,500 commissions. His business is growing bigger. His brand is growing bigger. He's able to put his wife and now two kids into a home that they rented, right? And the next step will be to buy a home. And he just bought himself a newer car. And why do I share this with you? Because it should not take you a decade to get there. If you guys are watching this goddamn show and you're wondering, can I just do one tiny little thing at a time? I'm here to tell you, no, it'll take too long. You need to create momentum. You need your feet held to the fire. You have to find a way to put yourself in a pressure cooker environment. Leighton did not know how to sell high-ticket coaching programs. It's not like he had that skill factory installed. What he did have is the desire to learn that skill and the want to put his family and himself in a better place and to not get food from that fucking pantry anymore and to be able to go into a grocery store and buy the quality food that he wants for his family. The rest was taught and executed. And I'm here to tell you that if you can put yourself in an environment where you're forced to work harder, you're the lowest level in terms of skill sets and traits so that you can aspire to higher levels, you will do better. So if you have a job and you're like the smartest guy in the room, have you considered maybe quitting and finding a better position where you're the dumbest guy in the room, where you have to work harder, you have to put yourself in a sales position, you have to eat what you kill. Like, that is what it takes, right? That is what it takes. And in 10 short months, you could achieve a high level of greatness. Like, Leighton has completely changed his economic status. Buster Douglas had something in his heart that was gnawing at him at such a high level that I must prove my mom right. That even though every expert in the boxing world said that Tyson's going to tear him apart, that man went into the ring with the odds stacked against him 42-1 and beat the poop out of Mike Tyson. Arguably the greatest of all times in terms of boxers, right? And why is it that you have to aspire to greatness? Why is it that if you don't, what happens? Well, if you don't, what happens? You stay average. And you hear me say this all the time. The average man inspires no one. And make no mistake about it, if we are to make this country great, if we are to make this country whole, if we are to take this country to a whole new place of awesomeness and get rid of this stupid ideology, this wokeness that exists, if we are to fire the ice cream licking, hair sniffing, bumbling idiot of a president, Biden, you must set your sight on greatness. Like, it is your duty and it is your responsibility, because when you achieve greatness, you become a pebble that is released into a pond that creates a ripple. And your example of greatness will be infectious. You will inspire and infect others with greatness. If you sit there and you wonder, what can we do about this country? How can we save it? How can we help it? How can we change it? I'm telling you that you must aspire to the greatest version of yourself. That's what it takes. Because when you do, and you put yourself in a high pressure cooker environment, where you have mentors and peers who are better than you, who are pouring into you, and you choose not to exit and pull the ripcord. Because there's another person in this room that I'll use an example. Lauren, she's sitting right over there. And there was a dude that got hired on the same day that Lauren did. I interviewed Lauren and whatever this guy's name was. I purge losers' names out of my head so quickly, I can't even recall his name. But I remember, see, I do the last interview. So here's how the interview system works here at HQ, right? So first, the department head will interview the people, make sure they have the skill sets, et cetera. Then HR will interview them to make sure that, again, they not only have the skill sets, but you know, they don't have some weird background where they're going to be a liability here at HQ. Once the department head and HR decide that, hey, this person is worth hiring, then I do a last and final interview. And what I do is just a sniff test. I do a sniff test, meaning I want to make sure that you have what it takes to work here. And so I just sat across Lauren and this loser, and I said, hey, guys, let's just pretend we're just three people sitting at a bar having some drinks, and I just want to get to know you guys. Let me tell you something about me. I'm unreasonable to work for. I have very high standards of expectations. And in fact, I'm here to tell you that you probably don't, because mom and dad have set low bars for you. The school system has set a low bar for you. They've taken the fighter jet out of you and they've asked you to be a crop duster. The school system, the society, community, they've left the fucking training wheels on for too long. They've bubble wrapped you for far too long to keep you safe and not hurt you. When you work here, you're on a speeding train and you're working for someone who's unreasonable and who has very high expectations. And I must always achieve my goals. And that means you are a part of my vision and you are a tool to help me achieve these goals. And in that process, you will achieve goals in your life of becoming a better human, becoming a high performer, having higher standards for yourself. But this isn't a place for everyone. And so please tell me about yourself. And both Lauren and our loser friend did. And I said, are you sure you want to work for a crazy whack job like me? And they said, yes, absolutely. Then I said, fantastic then. Welcome aboard. 2 weeks went by and our loser friend, from what I understand, got out of his workstation, his cubicle, walked over to HR and said, I don't want to be on the speeding train anymore. I quit. This is just too high paced, too fast. I don't think I have what it takes. I want out. Lauren, on the other hand, stayed. Grew, invested in herself, did the work, stayed on the pressure cooker, high speed train. Like, that's what this is, a high speed train that's a pressure cooker. And if you stay in it long enough, you become a different person. You become the idealized version of yourself because you continue to grow. We all continue to rise. And today she runs a whole department. And she runs a department and a division that is growing. And I share this with you because there's an example of two people. Both have what it takes. It's not like Lauren had anything special in her that this guy didn't. What this guy was missing was belief in himself. He probably thought that Lauren and I and everyone else in the building have some special superpower, have some special skills and traits that he doesn't, that we were bestowed genetically with some advanced gifts that he doesn't have. Untrue. Untrue. In fact, this entire building is full of misfits. people like me who didn't fit into traditional work environments, but we fit in perfectly here. And so because this guy underestimated himself, and guess what? When you're on the pressure cooker, when you're in a high-speed train, that first time on a high-speed train, that first 10, 20, 30 minutes when that bullet train is taken off, like you're pinned against your seat, it's scary. You could either pull the ripcord like our loser friend did, or you could stay in the fight like Lauren did. And when you do, you begin to develop. You develop traits and skills that make you a better person, a more decisive person, a more emotionally disciplined person. You begin to understand how money moves, how marketing works. And then you begin to contribute at a high level and then, of course, earn at a high level. And so that's here what I'm here to tell you guys. You have everything that you need to achieve greatness. And you've got a duty and a responsibility to the world, to your kids, to your spouse, to your friends, to your workplace, to your employees, to demonstrate greatness, the highest version of yourself, the 2.0 version of yourself, the most self-actualized version of yourself. You must become the man that you love, that you respect, that you admire, so that you can be the pebble when dropped in that beautiful, pristine lake, creates a ripple effect of inspiration. That is your duty. That is my duty. And if we don't do that, guess what happens? We begin to feel anxiety. We begin to feel guilt and shame. We begin to feel depressed. And it is then that we begin to lean into vices, right? And so I'm here to tell you, man, 6 months have gone by since the new year has started. You've got the next 6 months ahead of you. You can either be a loser and say you will wait for the new year to come to reset your expectations and a resolution, or you could start today and reprogram yourself for greatness. How do you do that? You start keeping promises to yourself. Number one, whatever promise you make, I'm going to wake up at this time and not hit the snooze button. You wake up at that time and don't hit the snooze button. I'm going to go work out 5-6 days a week. You go work out 5 or 6 days a week, whatever that number is. I'm going to eat clean. Then you eat clean. I'm going to maintain a positive mental attitude. Then you maintain a positive mental attitude by cutting out all negative input. People, social media, television media, right? When you start keeping the promises to yourself, when you start doing great things that great people do, you become a great human. It is formulaic. But if you're hanging around with crop dusters wondering why you're not a fighter jet, I'm here to tell you that it's a byproduct of environment. It is a byproduct of accepting mediocrity. The greatest version of you demands that you are extreme. I can tell you this, that every great person I know has this extreme personality, this intense, passionate desire to cut out negativity, to constantly lean into the sides of their comfort zone, to keep the promises to themselves, even when you don't feel like doing things, by the way. There's going to be plenty of times where you don't feel like waking up, but you do it anyway. You don't feel like getting your workout in, but you do it anyway. You don't feel like drinking your 30 ounces of water, but you do it anyway. You don't feel like reading that book, but you do it anyway. You don't feel like making that sales call, but you do it anyway. You don't feel like eating clean, but you do it anyway, because that is what greatness demands of us. And if you are willing to lean into the sides of your comfort zone, if you are willing to become that pebble that creates the ripple and inspires others, that is how together we change the world, my friends. So guys, thank you so much for watching and listening to this episode of the Bedros Koulian Show. And remember that average is the enemy, success is your responsibility, and change can take place in an instant if you are willing to flip the switch. I'll see you next time. What's the difference between me and you?
Back when Q was rolling with Lorenzo in a Benzo, I was banging with a gang of instrumentals.